Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
And welcome to The Parent Show. It's a Thursday evening. It's been a rainy day here in St Albans, but we're ready to go. And we've got lots to talk about tonight. And we're really pleased to welcome into the studio quite a lot of guests. So tonight's theme, as you will have seen on Facebook, those of you that follow us, is all about how schools raise money. You know, why do they do it? How do they do it? So looking forward to speaking to the guests. I'm Shirley Hayman, and in the studio with me tonight I have
Kathy Weston. Yes, a very warm welcome. As you said, Shirley, got really brilliant lineup. The studio's packed. We'll have to take a picture and stick it on Facebook like we do with everything. But we've got Al Green, business manager from Garden Fields School, as we all know, massive school in the centre of St Albans in Batchwood. And we've got Wayne Chow, local dad, and also the founder of Your School Lottery. So we're going to kick off with a chat to Al about the way in which schools are financed. I mean, Shirley, we were just saying we've never even heard of business managers in schools.
No,
it's such an interesting role, isn't it?
Exactly. We're both parents. We both have worked in schools. But, you know, Al, I never knew there was such a job. I already asked you, are you the head? Come on, tell us, what do you do, roughly?
I'd be told off if I said I was the head. I'd like to think of myself as a school business manager supporting the head in order that he can focus on curriculum and delivery, ensuring the children get the best possible deal out of school.
Right.
And the best possible deal nowadays means taking care of the money we do receive, spending it wisely, but also looking for other routes of raising money beyond the huge local authority grant one does get to support the school in the first place.
Okay, so can we just start right at the beginning? You know, what did you do before you were a business, what do you call yourself, a business manager?
School business development manager. Okay. Now, we've changed the title a little just to reflect the way the schools are evolving too.
Yeah.
But I have a varied background. I was a professional archaeologist in London for a long time.
Okay.
Sat myself a self-funded MBA, ran my own company for a short time, and then was fortunate enough to be introduced to the head of the current school. And we've been there 4 years.
So you say fortunate. I mean, why did you want to come out of what you were doing? Because schools are notoriously, you know, short of money. Why would you want to do that?
Broad and deep challenge. Very interesting to be able to call on business expertise, enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Like a lot of us here, I was a parent at that school too.
Okay.
So I had some knowledge from the outside. I'm not sure I really understood what I was getting into, but it seemed like a deep challenge at the point that local authorities were being forced to devolve a lot of spending responsibility and accountability down to schools and away from the centre. And this is a process that's continuing.
Okay. Now, we have lots of parents listening in, and I guess, like me, they're probably wondering, you know, where does the school get its money from? Does it come from central government these days? Does it come from Herts County Council in Hertford? You know, how much is each child worth to the school? Do you know?
I will. Yes, I do. And I can answer that. But let me take it back. It comes, and I always say, it comes from the taxpayer, ultimately. It's you and me pitching in. And then via government, devolved through local authority, the main lump sum comes from the local authority, in our case, Hertfordshire County Council, to the school. And we're answerable to them for every penny in both what we spend and how we spend. Every child, rather like university places, every backside on a seat is valuable to a school because there's a funding sum that comes with each child. The fuller your role, the better off you're likely to be as a school, is a rule. A full school is likely to be a healthier financially school than one that isn't full.
Right.
The danger for schools that are expanding potentially is that they don't get a full role to start with. So they may have to gear up to support a small number of students, and the pupil-teacher ratio is maybe not ideal.
Okay, because I know, you know, we had a new school start in St Albans, didn't we?
Yes, St Albans Free School.
Yeah. I mean, how on earth did they... I don't want you to go into detail, but how does a school like that start compared to somewhere like Garden Fields, which is well established?
Now, yes, you're right to draw. You're right to draw the distinction there, because Garden Fields is a grant-maintained school, and other... And everybody will have talked about this a lot. Academies, for example, get their money direct from the government, essentially, and it's a slightly different arrangement to get the money to the school. Academies, of course, as we know, have a different structure. They are proper businesses, company secretaries, and submit accounts. We do that as a maintained school in a slightly different fashion, but the accountability and the depth of it is still there.
Right. So you know, why should us parents be helping to raise money? There's someone like you, you're being paid a salary, I'm sure.
Indeed.
I hope. You know, why should parents be having to raise money as well?
It's a very good question, because there's a huge altruistic element in many schools, and it seeks an outlet, and I think a good deal of it is driven by the mums who have been professionals, maybe still working part-time or not at all, in order to have children and bring them up, want an outlet. It's a huge social side to the fundraising, and it's an extraordinarily meaningful way for them to be able to help direct the way the school grows. And why do it? Raise that extra money that we wouldn't otherwise have, that allows the children to benefit from something they wouldn't otherwise get, either straight away or maybe in the near future.
So if the, I don't know, PTA or whatever you call it these days, is raising a lot of money, does that mean that it reduces the amount of money the Herts County Council would give you?
No, it doesn't. This is the great thing. This is the cream on the top of the cake, really. This is the bit that when the PTA have raised it, we insist that Garden Fields, it goes into something visible. They have a huge amount of say, quite rightly. Mm. They've raised it for their children while they're at school as to where it goes. So it has to be what I call kickable and meaningful. And ideally, it's something that's usable across all the year groups as well. So you will find it being used, in our case, in a range of activities, from subsidising the school buses to take children to the mandatory swimming lessons, mm-hmm. to playground equipment, to a fleet of tablets that are used for lower years for hand-eye coordination, right the way through to web research in year six.
That sounds amazing. So are you allowed to tell us roughly how much does your school bring in through parents organising events throughout the year?
I'll give it to you exactly, because I'm really proud of it. And yep. Claire Lane, the chair, will she'll nobble me if I don't tell her.
Yep.
It was last year, September to April, £22,546.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's phenomenal. Absolutely, humblingly, enormous amount.
Yeah. So it would never go on teachers' salaries or teachers' trips, you know, at Christmas?
Not at all.
No.
The intent, and there are spending guidelines in the background, but to summarise what it should do and where it does go with us, is directly to benefit the children. And it's giving them something they wouldn't otherwise have.
Okay. So have your children left the school now?
No, I have one heading to Beaumont next year, and I have one in year four who seems to be heading around the cross-country track every Thursday evening.
Okay. Now, I was wondering, what kind of events, in your experience, raise the most kind of money these days? Because when my daughter was at school, you know, it was the cake sale every Friday afternoon. So I baked a cake, I bought a cake. It was quite a lot of effort. You know,
you spent more on the cake, and then you probably dropped it off and then bought somebody else's cake, which wasn't as nice as yours, and wondered what you had done.
Exactly. So please tell me that's not how they're doing it these days.
We do it more efficiently, and it's extremely valuable to have those, say, every half term, because it involves new parents and current parents, and it's that small margin, which accruing over the year is a huge contribution. But the biggest single contributor will be your Christmas fair and May fairs.
Oh, okay. And
these are huge enterprises. I cheekily call them food fairs with fairs attached, because we get enormous input from parents, both in supporting kind, supporting cash, the presence of parents and a lot of people who live around the area too, with leaflet drops.
Mm-hmm.
We have commercial support and relationships with sponsors too, which enable us to get supplies or prizes that encourage people to buy into raffles. And a good example was, we broke the record last Christmas, and I'm going to get it wrong again, and my chair will have a word, but we raised over £7,000 in 3 hours at the Christmas fair.
No way.
And similarly at the summer fair, our May fair in mid-May this year.
And do you think that's typical of the schools around here, or is that, you know, are you exceptionally good at
we
it?
We think we're pretty good at it. I think we have a very professional set of mums who are using their professional skills and just sheer enthusiasm and doggedness to make this work.
Mm.
And it's partly enabled by software that allows them to communicate with each other outside that walled garden of school and data protection. So we use some software, PTA Social, which is an essential uniter. PTA invite each other to join this, so there's no data protection issues, but there is that network where they're running their own communication system. It feeds into our website, Facebook and Twitter feeds, and it's its own network effect.
I think we've actually had the creator of that on the show before.
Tess McPherson.
Yeah, Tess, yeah. So, oh great, it's a great idea. Using it. So you were just talking before we came on air about your role, and you said there are 90 people doing your job around Hertfordshire, is that right?
I would say maybe more than that. We have 90 members plus of what we call now the Hertfordshire Primary Schools School Business Managers Forum, where we exchange ideas, good practice, collude on procurement now, and are attempting to, in some cases, replace what county doesn't do anymore, which a great example of which is starting a project to acquire maternity and staff absence insurance at very competitive rates, where at the moment most schools will be going out on their own and have no chance to talk to another school to combine both their risk and the benefit of shopping.
So, you know, say I'm a new parent to your school at Gardenfields. I don't know anybody. I've just moved into the area. I want to get involved. You know, what do I do? How would I approach? Would I come to you? Do I just wait and be asked in the playground?
You will be nabbed in the playground by a PTA playground, a PTA year rep.
Right.
You'll have been introduced to us at the new parents' evenings as well. We will have thrust a gift aid form into your hand. Demanded whether you have any, declare whether you have any natural interests in anything, any commercial interest. Do you have time? And if you haven't got time, can you support us in kind? Mm-hmm. And have you got friends who want to help too? And you'll be taken out for a drink.
So it really is a serious business, isn't
it? Fairly sophisticated, but in a very approachable, open, inclusive fashion.
Yeah. Right, well, I think we'll have a little break and then we'll come back and Kathy's going to no doubt have some questions for our next guest. Thank you so much.
Tonight we're talking about how schools raise money. We've just heard from Al Green from Gardenfields Schools, and now I'm very pleased to say we're joined by Wayne Chow, who runs, or the founder, I should say, of Your School Lottery. Hi, Wayne.
Hello, Kathy.
Now, first of all, I'm holding the leaflet in my hand. It's lovely, it's colourful, it says it's simple to start, it's easy to run, and it's free to set up. Tell us what it is.
It's basically a way of helping schools raise money through their local communities, and we like to think of it as the way that lotteries should be run, whereby they are run at a community level. All the money that's raised within the community goes back into the community, so that includes the money that goes to help schools improve, and also with a guaranteed prize every single week as well for the that school's community.
So it's a lottery in that. How does that actually, like, who buys the ticket, a parent might ask?
Well, it's the parents or it's anybody within the local community. And in fact, because it is an online campaign, this can extend to whoever in the UK knows about it. So if you advertise your own school's lottery nationally, then there's no reason why anybody who has a UK bank account and a UK address can't support it.
And every week there would be a winner of a substantial sum of money, is that correct?
Every single week, each school has a guaranteed winner, which is generated from... and the size of that prize basically depends on the number of tickets that are purchased by the local community. So the more people that join the lottery, the bigger the local prize and the more the school gets as well.
And there's a lovely stat here. It says 1 in 4 schools now have their own lottery, and an estimated $3,000 per school is raised each year by schools that run lotteries.
That's right. So in terms of 1 in 4 schools has a lottery, 1 in 4 schools either has what you call a traditional 100 club, or they run their own lottery on a manual basis, where they go around the playground and they collect cash from parents who can purchase tickets for each of those draws. What we've done is we've taken this to the next level, which basically means that we basically have a lottery engine, which means that people can subscribe to the lottery, choose the school that they want to support, and then they can pay via direct debit, credit card or debit card, so that it makes it a lot easier for the PTAs and the schools in terms of administration, because they no longer need to spend the manpower to actually go around and try to keep the ticket numbers up. So people basically make a commitment that they want to support the school, and then they essentially join a campaign, and the more the PTA and the more the school spread the word about it, then the bigger that campaign becomes. So you do not need to really sustain it on a weekly level. The more you shout about it, the bigger it gets, the bigger the prizes, and the more funds raised.
So the more the community invests, the more the potential.
Yeah, the bigger the prizes, and yeah, and the more the school gets.
And one of the things that your school lottery does is it you provide a dedicated web page for the school in question.
Yes. A big part of what we do kind of stems around what we've experienced as busy working parents, in that a lot of parents don't have an awful lot of time to help raise money for the school. So what we've created is something which, and that includes the PTA members themselves, a lot of them have full-time jobs themselves. So what we basically have done is we create bespoke branded marketing materials for the PTA to distribute and the school to send out on via email. So every school receives its own leaflets, both digital and printable. The digital leaflets effectively have the school's crest on it. It's got the fundraising message on it, and it's, if you click on it online, when you receive it on an email, then it will direct the user straight to the school's campaign page, which is also branded up with the school's logo and a welcome message from the school, which we encourage schools to tell supporters what they're saving up for, how much they want, when they want to spend the money, and why the children of the school will benefit.
So you help them kind of set their goals?
Yes, we do. We encourage them to have clear goals in terms of what they want to raise money for, because in general, regarding fundraising initiatives, what we do know is that if you communicate why you need the money, then people are much more motivated to support you, because they know exactly where their money's going to go.
And it's lovely. I mean, there's no startup fee for the school. There's a dedicated telephone hotline in case you have any problems, because everyone's so busy. But also, the whole school can tune in to your school lottery and check the results of how their school is doing.
That's
correct?
Yeah.
What does that involve? What do they see on the screen when they do that?
When you log into your account with your school lottery, your account is associated with a particular school. So when you log in, you go to your school's homepage, and on that homepage, you'll see the winning numbers from the last week. There's a countdown clock which tells you when the next draw is. And you can click to see what the previous results were, and who the winners were as well of the local prize. And the next week's local prize is also published up on your school's website as well.
And presumably parents don't mind a pound a week on the off chance the school might, you know, generate a bigger cash sum.
Well, exactly. I mean, a pound a week to most people is not an awful lot, but it is the choice of the parents and the community as to whether they want to support the school, or whether they choose not to support the school, or whether they can't afford to support the school. So it is purely a matter of choice as to whether you want to participate within this.
Now, in general, if people are listening and they're on the PTA or they're not on the PTA, who's the person who would normally register the school? Do they have to consult other people?
Well, yes, what normally happens is someone from within the PTA would click on request more information on our website, which is www.yourschoollottery.co.uk. They'll just enter what their address is, and then we will effectively, in the post within 3 days, they'll receive some of these leaflets that you've got in your hand, Kathy.
Yeah.
And then they'll normally take these to the PTA committee, and if the PTA committee will agree it's a good idea, then they would have a chat with the head teacher of the school, because the head also needs to buy into the principal. And then once everybody agrees, it takes them 2 minutes to sign their school up online. And then really from that point onwards, we do all of the hard work for them, creating the online campaign, creating their leaflets.
All the marketing material.
All the marketing materials. We even complete the local authority return forms, check that they've got the appropriate local authority license in place. And if they don't, then we fill in the application form for them.
So it sounds like a win-win. I mean, there's not that much hard work involved with a potential of great return.
Yeah, I mean, the way we try to tell the PTAs about us is they really don't need to do anything other than just tell as many people about this as possible. It's as simple as that. Because from that point onwards, we manage the draws, we manage the winning payments, we manage the fund transfer into the designated accounts they want to go to. We complete all the authority return forms. And all they really have to do is print them off and post them to send them to the authority.
And have you got lovely feedback from schools about how it's going?
Yes, we've got some really heartwarming feedback from a lot of the schools. They really can't quite believe that it literally is 2 minutes of their time to sign up, and then they receive within a week their online campaign is up live that they can see on the website, and they've received all the materials that they'll ever need. So all they need to do really is just to tell people about it, and they can't quite get over the concept how there's no risk associated with it.
Now, I think we should surely bring in Al and Posy Parsons, who's here in the studio this evening. Posy is the head of the PTA at Fleet, or was formerly, I should say. So, Posy, we'll just bring you in, and Al as well, and tell us what you feel about the idea of your school lottery, Al, first.
I'm very keen on this, because I think an advantage of this is that it overcomes the, dare I say, sporadic nature of PTA fundraising, which is very much tied to the school calendar and the cycle of the school day, and puts a lot of pressure on the PTA to fit events into that tight, busy school schedule and their own lives as well. I like the idea that people will have the option to sign up, rather like your direct debit, and continue to know they're doing some good, even if they can't actually offer their own time or presence at school. I think this could be very attractive, and I see another angle too. I'd quite like to consider how to pitch this to commercial companies where outright sponsorship might not be quite the appropriate way of supporting the school, but there is a personal connection which could be manifested in the company signing up to this too.
Very nice.
I'm not sure how Posy would feel about that, and I'd have maybe I'd approach it with a different hat on as a parent.
Now, Posy, welcome to the show. We know that you've had lots of experience as a parent raising money for your school in Fleetville. Tell us a little bit about what it was like for you raising money in Fleetville. Was it difficult? Did you have a tricky time coming up with ideas?
Sure. Well, first off, just let me say hello and thank you for having me on. And would you like me to first talk about the school lottery?
Yeah, what's your first sort of feeling about how that would work?
Yeah, would it be attractive like an to you excellent as an option? Idea. I haven't heard of any schools that I've interacted with who currently hold any type of lottery. And it's something that I had never considered doing. I think it really seems like a great idea. I do have a lot of questions that come to mind, though. Like, what percentage, if I had Fleetville schools and the parents are putting in money each week, what percentage of their money actually goes back to the school? Like, what cut do you guys take? Because you must be getting paid for all the work that you're doing.
To be honest, at the moment, we don't take anything.
Not a cut
no.
at all.
Out of the pound, the way the pound carves up is that compared to other national organisations that run lotteries, so we're talking about the Weather Lottery, Postcode Lottery and Camelot, you know, typically they offer between 20 to 28% of the pound back to a good cause, but we are set up right from a standing start to pass back 40% of the whole pound straight back to the school. We've got a longer term aspiration and target that we really want to reach 50%, but that really is going to come with the scale, because there are costs associated with the administration of the lottery in terms of bank transaction charges and basically fixed running costs of keeping this thing going. But also, let's not forget the prizes that need to go back out of the pot that come out of the pound as well.
Yeah. And so right now it stands at 40% goes to the school, and then what percentage it goes to the winnings?
So effectively 30 pence within the pound goes to the winner every week. Mm-hmm. And the remaining money basically pays for the administration of the lottery itself.
So, Posy, tell us, in your experience, give us a big list of things that you had to dream up and do to raise money for your school.
Well, there are a number of different events. And I think the key thing that faces a PTA is how to keep the parents interested and involved and participating. And so I think what's important is that you search for the feedback from your parent body of what interests them and try to get their buy-in as much as possible, and also try to mix things up year to year. I was having a conversation with the current PTA chair, Sarah Foster, about this just yesterday, about the balance between sticking with something that is known to work year in and year out versus creating excitement for the parent body. And I think a balance needs to be struck. And the best way to do that is to try to get buy-in from the parent body by asking what they want. We had success in my years as chair just because there have been a lot of tried and true methods that have run their course, and I found it fun to mix it up a bit. That was what was fun about the PTA for me.
Well, didn't you have your fun quiz night?
Yeah. So the quizzes have been done,
The pizza was very popular.
So it's always just thinking, like with anything, you can always try to make things more efficient, more cost effective, appeal to more people to come and attend, to try to keep your funds coming in. The quiz was always really popular. We started doing a wine tasting evening. I've heard of doing race nights. We've never done a race night. Something I always wanted to do is auction of promises. I always thought that would be a really great deal of fun, getting all the parents involved, doing silly things. You could have a wide range. And that had been done before my time at the school.
Now, do any of you know of a sort of a, you know, it sounds like there's a lot to analyze there. If you're trying to think of the best approach to make money, is there anywhere, Al, maybe you know, where they've done the analytics, they know that race night raises way more money than the annual fireworks?
Well, I think it would depend. I think it would depend on each event in every school. And so what we would do is we would take the previous year's information, look at how much it raised, but also look at the percentage of the return. So one thing that I really tried to look at was there's parents always feel like they're inundated with requests. And I wanted to make sure that we weren't just asking them over and over again to volunteer time and effort for something that was only getting us a very minimal amount of money. So there are a lot of third-party fundraisers where you buy through another organization and you get 10, 15, 20% of the total, and yet parents are being asked through the PTA to contribute. And I think it wears on them, and they think they're giving large sums, and really only a small cut is going to the school. So for us, we stopped doing so many of the small third party. Mm-hmm. And something that we started doing, which everyone thought I was a bit nuts, is we became that person in our Christmas tree sales. So instead of going through a third party, we went direct to the Christmas tree sellers and did a little bit of the work and took on the risk of making the outright purchase of the trees. And then the school saw 100% of those profits instead of 10%, you know, which is what happens when you go through an outside third-party source.
I think it's like Al said, there's so many people with great skills who are able. I mean, why did you get involved and what motivated you to do that work?
I've always come from a place of feeling like you want to contribute and do your bit, and there's a social side of it as well. So I was just involved with the school. I started as a class rep, so representing my class within the school, and then the PTA needed help, and to be honest, no one else was stepping forth. It helped that the previous chair was my neighbor, and he could strong arm me over the fence. He had done a great job, and I kind of started out saying, "Oh, I'd love to get involved, but I don't really feel like I want to be chair." But no one else was, and so
thank God for people like you, Posey.
Step forward, you know.
What do you think the relation? It's making me think, Shirley, about the relationship between the PTA and the rest of the school. Because surely, are you in sort of a powerful position, or do you have to? What is your relationship with the business manager, with the head? Do you have any say or a formal relationship?
I loved it. I absolutely loved my time in the PTA, and you get to know all the teachers, all the staff. You know, the head teacher, having meetings discussing what the school needs, what the PTA feels like the school needs, where the two can meet, and then how to make that happen in the best way. Just really spending so much time in the school, my kids, so my son just started reception, and he just feels so comfortable with the school. All the office people know him. He just runs around like he owns the place. And so on a personal level, being involved with the PTA gives back a lot to me. And school-wide, I think the relationship, it's tricky, because I think you started out saying, what does the PTA call itself these days? And some people have a bad connotation, and I think that's a shame. So I think it's really important to try to realize that everybody is ultimately working for the benefit of the kids.
And how many people are sort of involved in the PTA at any one time and across the school?
Yeah, it's really interesting for me this year, having stepped back from being the chair, to realize the average parent just would have no concept of how much work goes in to make each event happen. Because as a parent, you're just busy with your own life, with your kids, with your job, and you get a little flyer in your book bag announcing an event, and then you show up at the event, it's great fun, and then you leave, not realizing how many, it is so much time that usually often a core of people are putting in. So I would say, if there's one thing I could get across, if each parent could literally put in half an hour or an hour through almost the whole year, if you could do 1 hour every term, which is not
Sounds
really asking
doable.
A lot,
Sounds
it
doable.
Would be such a huge relief to the maybe 5 to 10 people who do a lot of work on it.
Al, you're nodding here. Have your say.
I agree entirely with Posey. If everybody can help, and one thing we have discovered is that the PTA social software allows you to break down that large project into small, easily digestible chunks where people can contribute but don't feel they're going to be dragooned into becoming the chair of the PTA and finding all their time is being sucked into what are majestic logistical successes, from the smallest event of the cake sale right the way through to the school fair or the camp out on the field. And you asked about how many people are involved in any event the PTA runs. It would vary from a few who run the regular events like the tea for the Wednesday football, right the way through to a minimum of 70 bringing in their friends and colleagues for the summer fair, for example. So we wouldn't be surprised to find that at its peak we're running at maybe 180 involvees, but it does often feel that it falls down to a highly motivated centre, a core, whose enthusiasm and organisational skills bring a lot of other people together to make these events work. And I never cease to be amazed. Our May Fair, and it will happen with Fleetville and all the other local schools, from 8:30 in the morning when there's an empty field, you run through to 5 o'clock, and in that time you've built a fun fair, earned £7,000, tidied the litter away. Nobody would know you'd been on that field and anything had happened at all. There is no trace except a glow of satisfaction and the PTA party to follow.
Well, I think that, Posey, you've left a trace, because on Facebook we've got messages coming in for you. So you might like to know you're very loved in Fleetville.
And it says, gosh.
Posey, we love you. So whatever you did, you made an impact. So
well, thank you,
well,
whoever
done.
Said that. No, it's probably my husband.
No, it's a woman. It's a woman. You can check it out later. I mean, just from a personal point of view, are you from the States originally?
Or I am.
Yeah,
yes.
So
my accent gives me away.
A little bit. So is it the same over there? Are they doing all this kind of work? Did you learn
to... No, I mean, to be honest, I've lived here so long, I have my kids here.
So
I don't know.
Know
what the existing situation is like in the States. Growing up, As a kid, I was completely unaware of a PTA.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there's a lot of American sentiment behind putting volunteer hours in. It's very, very common, you know, way beyond giving money necessarily.
Right.
You would definitely give loads of your time to all sorts of organizations. So schools would weigh very highly, and things like come clean up your park and paint this. Everyone needs to lend a hand. That's very commonplace.
Mm. Now, Shirley, have you wondered about dads in PTAs? Because, I mean, is that common for dads to get involved?
Well, there are, and I think that Al, I have to say, I noticed you said mums in the beginning. So the previous chair of our PTA was a dad. This past year, we had a dad who took on all of the raffle and helped deal with sponsorship things. So, I mean, definitely there is less involvement from the dad's standpoint, but there is, and I think they need to be really encouraged to take part. And that's something where it was nice doing the Christmas trees at our Christmas fair, because that seemed very kind of masculine. So we encouraged a lot of dads to come and run that stall when their partners were doing the class stalls. So it was kind of an added.
Or the fireworks. The dad loves it. Whoever, the guy who has his hands on the dynamite, that's the best job in the PTA annual.
I think they
class.
Might source that one out.
And they make very good Father Christmases too, but don't tell the children.
I guess they're all asleep now.
hopefully. I think one of the things I want to come back to is the sort of the negative connotations maybe attached to PTAs. Why do you think that has, what is that? And why do you think it's come about?
I don't know. It really is. It's a discouraging thing, because the people who are volunteering their time are just working so hard for the benefit of all of the children of the school. And I don't know if it comes from overbearing people in the past who felt like they were strong-arming everyone, and so it got a bad reputation. I'm not sure where it comes from. But I do know it's something that PTAs everywhere must face. And it was a big thing. I think marketing of your PTA is really important.
Right.
So for us, really highlighting and always just talking about the fun sides of it, and never, I think it's really important as a PTA to not sound desperate. And even when you feel panicked, like you don't have volunteers, never be like, please, nobody's helping us. You have to kind of be like, oh, it's going to be fun and it will happen. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't. And it's not the end of the world. But if you guys want this, then we can all make it happen together.
One of my experiences, I have to say, years gone by, was it was a little bit cliquey, I have to say, in the school where I was.
I've heard that.
It was really hard to break into. And I think, you know, if you get a good team, they're working together for a while. It's really hard for a new parent to come into that. So any thoughts on that? Any experience?
Well, I've heard that. And I think my experience was completely different. In my years, it was a real range of people who came in. And so none of us knew each other very well. I do think often what happens is one person kind of volunteers to do it and then tries to elicit help somewhere, and their friends are the ones who help out. So while, and that happened in the beginning of my time, but then, you know, there was one reception parent who stepped on, and someone else left. One of my friends had to leave due to a family illness, and a new person joined, and then a different person joined, and none of us knew each other. And I think that definitely when I was more strapped and needed help, I could tug on my closer friends who would pitch in. Like, I had some great friends who did wonderful designing for us, and, you know, different ways that they would help out. But I think also as a PTA, remaining approachable is so important. Mm-hmm. And that's partly why I stepped down, is because I think it's important that you have different people coming in all the time. And to be honest, it was like hard for me to let go at the end of the summer, because I enjoyed it so much. But you need to keep a changing guard, really. And you need it to be across. You should really have representation from all the different year groups to get everyone bought into it.
Al, can I just ask you, I mean, is the business development manager or the head teacher able to have any influence on who's on the PTA? So say you've got a group of people that are a little bit closed and cliquey, a clique. Can you interfere?
It's a good question. Because we've not been in that position, I can't speak from any experience, but in a practical sense, I don't think we would either if we felt that that was the case. I suspect a gentle word may make the a committee more approachable. I think the real barrier is that for anybody who's not familiar with school and with the PTA, it is the impression, and it is correct, that there is such a lot to be done. The complexity of the PTA's organisation and their success is not something many people want to feel they might either compromise or, again, as I said earlier, step in and be drawn so deeply in they can't withdraw gracefully. So, proper answer to your question, no, I don't think we could and certainly wouldn't. And Posey's point about a turnover or a throughput is very pertinent, and she's experienced it in the way I haven't. Mm. I think chairs do such a tremendous job, but it's probably a 2 or 3 year life cycle. I think there's a point when one might actually want to step back and say, I'm done, I'm through. I'm thinking about this when I'm working at home, I'm sorting the children, and probably in many cases running their own businesses as well.
Would you agree, Posey, 2 to 3 years is probably, you know, a good period of time.
Yes, for me, it was historically at our school for a while, the chair was really 1 year. And I felt like I knew nothing coming into it and learned so much in the first year that I definitely wanted to see it through a second year. But then at the end of that, you don't want to create a vacuum when you go either. And so, and it's like, it's a lot of work. I would like to say my first year, we had a very small chair committee, and we had like PTA social, Tess is at our school, and she was just starting out, but had barely started. So we didn't have any of that set up. We had barely anyone there. And that year, it was like a full-time job, 30 hours a week for me. We then expanded it, got a lot more involvement for my second year, broke down each committee role to have real ownership over whole aspects of it. And that just made such a difference. So we more than doubled the size of the committee and gave it just became such a more manageable role to be chair then.
So there's quite a lot of leadership required in that position. If you can expand your team, keep your team together, brand your team, there's like, I think everyone listening would have a newfound respect for anyone prepared to
take
that on.
That's why it's so much fun, though, because it's, you're thinking of so many things. You're coming up with, you know, how to best market it.
It's like planning a wedding every day of the week.
It's so much fun.
You know, seriously.
But it's not your money.
Yeah. No, something I want to ask is, to what extent should children be involved in fundraising for their schools way more than the adults? I mean, the thing is, the school lottery idea, I think children would love, they love entering things like that, competitions, and collecting their pounds from parents in the playground. I mean, what's your sort of thought on, or what role do children have themselves at Fleetville? I don't know, or Gardenfields?
Well, so in our school, I was just in the infant school, so it only went through year two. And I think one thing that the heads and the business directors of the schools can have a huge influence in is the overall involvement and approach of the PTA as it pertains to the teachers and the whole internal school structure. I think that they really lead the direction in how it's viewed by the rest of the busy people within the school. And so what I found is that the teachers are so overworked and they have such little amount of time. It would be great if you could involve the kids and the teachers more in all of the fundraising. What we found in Fleetville is there are some very separated events. So the teachers and the kids did a comic relief cake sale where the kids were really involved and they kind of planned out the pricing and made signs during school, and it was fabulous. And if we could get that level of involvement with the kids across all of the events, I mean, it creates great memories for them. It gets them really invested.
It's interesting what you're saying, Posey, because one thing that also struck me there, and I've not identified this before, is that our events probably, as yours may have done, into two categories. And one is where it's being done by the parents and the school community for the children, but not necessarily with them present. So I'm thinking of our PTA quiz nights, for example, which are great fun but not appropriate for the pupils. By contrast, in the same hall the week later, we run a film night back to back to back, and that's the 100% profit you've talked about. It's fantastically profitable, very rewarding. All the year groups come through, and it only works because the children are there themselves. They're probably unaware of the benefit to them until the point where, for example, recently the PTA agreed a tranche of money to each of our 14 classes, which the teachers polled the children as to how they would like it spent. So they were given some direction in it and have come up with a shopping list. And in some cases it's entertainment, wet play resources. In some cases it's curriculum support material. So thank you. I've got a new way of identifying which balance of events might be needed. I just have to pluck up the courage to talk with the chair and see whether we think it's right.
I think one thing that Fleetville Junior School does, and it's great, once the kids are in year five, year six, on all of the summer fairs or the Christmas fair, they come and run some of the stalls. And I think that's a wonderful experience. And the more you can think of ways to have the kids taking part like that, just it's fabulous.
Shirley, what's your viewpoint on that? Have you heard of kids getting involved in fundraising in schools in your experience?
Not particularly, but I really like the idea you said about them making the price labels and things, because it's actually really educational as well, isn't it? And they're doing their numbers for a purpose.
They were handling the money.
Yeah.
And they were only in year two. Yeah, it was great. Making change and giving it back.
Well, that's so exciting, because they're understanding what it means to be part of a community as well, and maybe seeing the tangible effects of raising the money. I love the idea of them coming up with their wish list. It must have been hilarious, you know.
I know with our playground, they really wanted an outside swimming pool like that. It's not going to be possible. Sorry.
Let's bring Wayne back in again, so we haven't heard his voice for a while. Wayne, can you just sort of, I'm sorry if you've explained it already, but, you know, this is your business, isn't it? From what you were saying, you've got 40p to the...
Yes, so there's 40p. There's 40p within the pound goes straight back to the school.
Yeah, 30p to the
30 pence
prize
goes to the local guaranteed prize.
Right, and so the other 30p goes into your company.
When we say it goes into the company, we are basically pushing the entire 30p back into the administration and running of each of the school's lotteries. So that basically means we have to manage servers and hardware. Mm. We have development costs to fund. We need to age verify everybody who decides to participate. We do, because we have to make sure that everybody who participates and signs up is over the age of 16. So we have very rigorous checking facilities, and we work in partnership with other age verification companies to make sure that we are compliant with that in every respect. So we have licenses and regulations that we have to comply with as well. So at the moment, we also underwrite a £25,000 prize as well. So everybody who enters the lottery for their local school doesn't just have a chance to win their guaranteed local prize, but every single ticket also gets entered into a second draw, which gives them a chance to win £25,000 every single week as well.
It's just amazing. It almost sounds too good to be true to me. But so where do you run it from?
Where do we run it from? We basically run it from Oxford. That's where we're based at the moment. And it is an online organisation that we run, so we can administer this from wherever we are.
Yeah.
So it's not the only thing that we do. Because clearly our aspirations are, one, to raise the money that goes, that to increase the amount of money that goes back to the school to 50%. That is our first priority. And the second one is to be able to get this to a critical mass whereby we can spend more time of our own doing this. So I would love to spend all my time helping schools raise money rather than operating within the commercial world where I've been for 30 years.
You don't look old enough.
No.
Kathy.
Well, I think we're going to have to leave it there. So thank you so much, Posy Parsons, Wayne Chow and Al Green, for an inspirational chat this evening. Thanks a million. That's great.
Neves Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neves includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neves Solicitors, your complete legal solution.